a little bit. Let's try a little bit. Bring it in there. Beautiful instrument. I'll tell you. You like the way I play that? That is a beautiful, beautiful instrument, I'll tell you. I will concede to you that at one point in my Army career, I carried at the bottom of my barracks bag, through thick and thin, my B bag, or at least one of them, I carried a battered jew's harp. And you can imagine what this did for my popularity. I'll tell you, I used to entertain the fellows in the mess hall. Oh, you know, one thing about the Army, it is a tremendously educational experience. You learn how rich the language can be, among other things, don't you? And did I ever tell you about the guy? And you get to meet such a fantastic cross-section of people that you would never have anything to do with. I remember one time, I'm in a casual company. Now, a casual company, friends, is a little bit this side of purgatory. In fact, a casual company, right? Casual company is very closely allied with some of the more esoteric sections of hell. Now, a casual company is a company where they've thrown all the cast-offs for one reason or another. They've thrown them all in this barracks together, see? And they've come from wide, diverse backgrounds. There's nothing that holds them together except one. They're in casual company C, 4132nd Signal Airborne Mess Kit Repair Battalion, or they're in the Army. That's about all. And I have this double-deck bunk. And this is one of the great primitives that I've ever met in my life. I have the bottom bunk, see, and the top bunk is vacant. And they've got the mattress rolled up and back. And so for about the first two or three days in this casual company, I'm lying there on my sack, and I can see the ceiling through the springs at the top of the bunk there. And I could smell the butt cans, and once in a while you hear a company go by and you hear trucks going by. You never hear when you talk about the Army movies and short stories, one thing or another, you never get a sense of the sounds that you have in an Army camp or an Air Force base. The continual sounds of prime movers going by. Rah, 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 rah. And you hear, but you hear off in the distance all constantly. You hear, up, 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 up. You just don't hear this in Darien regularly, I'll tell you, friends. And then once in a while you hear, airplane goes over. This shakes the roof. See, they don't have the same noise abatement laws that govern Queens in the Army. Then you can hear, on good days when the wind is from the right direction, you hear the sound of the rifle range. You just hear, and there's a pause. Another airplane goes by, and you get so that you're totally inured to this. You don't even hear it. Just like when you're on the A train after you've lived in New York so many years, you just don't hear the sound of the tracks. You wouldn't hear the sound of the flat wheels on the A train. And because you're so used to it, you just don't hear it. Well, I'm lying in my sack one day in the casual company. I'm goofing off. And it's a quiet afternoon. And this guy comes walking in. He's got a couple of barracks bags over his shoulders. A little short, squat guy. He looks sort of like a fire plug with feet. That kind of guy, you know? And there's a certain kind of guy in the Army that no matter what he's wearing, he looks sloppy, terrible. And, you know, everything's all rumpled. And he's got the barracks-type cap, the overseas cap. He's got a sort of half sideways. It comes down, pulls it down with his ears are bent over on both sides of it, you know, the whole thing. And his braid is kind of coming off and sticking up the top. And talk about brass. This guy, you know, you hear about guys polishing their brass, forget it. This guy had belts that were all twisted. You've seen the guy, just a rotten, crummy soldier. So he comes walking, and he's got his barracks bag, and he looks around the barracks, and he sees this empty bunk. Well, there I am lying flat on my thing, and I'm looking up at the ceiling, and I'm goofing off a little bit. I'm supposed to be down somewhere on latrine orderly or something, and I'm goofing it off. I'm cooling it, and you can hear the sound of Company M, taking a little drill out there in the back. And I'm lying on the bunk there, and this guy comes in through the barracks door, and he's got his barracks bags, and you can see stuff is falling out of him, and his hat's on sideways, and I hear the Jeep pulling away. They brought him down from the gate someplace, and he's been cast off by some company, and you can see a couple of little threads sticking off of his sleeve where the stripes have been taken off. you know, it's the dump heap of people. And he looks down at me and he says, "Hey, Mac." Got that Southern. Almost everybody in almost every outfit I've ever was in the Army is vaguely Southern. "Hey, Mac." I said, "Yep." "Hey, Mac, is that bunk there empty?" I said, "Yep." "Okay." And he comes clumping down and he takes his barracks bags and he throws them up on the top bunk and he goes stomping out. "This is going to be my new bunk mate." I lay there quietly for a while, and about 3 minutes go by, maybe four, and the screen door slams again, and in this guy comes with a pile of blankets. He's been down to the supply room, and now he got his blankets and his sheets, and he's got the pillow, you know, the whole stuff that they give out down there. And he comes back, and he starts to make his bed. He says nothing whatsoever to me. He starts to make his bed, and he's standing right next to me. I'm looking at him, and you can see it's impossible to even conceive of his pants ever having been pressed. They're round. I mean, they're absolutely round. In fact, he had little bags hanging where his knees were. You could just see little sacks where his knees were in it. And you see the bottom of his GI pants were frayed. Real. Who knows what hell this guy had been through? And he's saying nothing. A little short, squat, sort of blonde guy, red face. And he's got his hat on sideways. And you know, he's the kind of guy that no matter how recently his shirts have come back from the laundry or have come back from the cleaners, the collars bend up. The collars curl up. That kind of guy. And he's got this GI tie that's all knotted and sweaty, and it's got crud all over it. And it just kind of hangs down like a little knot. And here he's putting his stuff up there. That's another guy from the casual company. And then he climbs up, he shinnies up the side of the bed, and now he's in the sack. He climbs up and he lays down in the sack. I could see it bulging down up above me. I'm looking up. Now, these are the things. This is genuine Army life you're hearing about, right? Tell her. This is the real thing, man. And so I see it bulging down there, and we are saying nothing. It's quiet now in the barracks. This guy's lying up there, and his barracks bags are hanging down from the end of the bunk. He has just come in. Well, all of a sudden, the squawk box opens up, and it says, "Sanderson! Sanderson! Come out down to the early room right away. Is there Sanderson in the barracks? Barracks B, Sanderson!" And I hear the bunk up above me squeak. And this guy opens up with an epithet. He just lets it go in a rich, southern, lower Tennessee drawl. You see, this was a two-way squawk back. You know, you can talk back with these squawk backs. And he says something to the orderly room. And you hear, "What's that?" And he repeats it. "What's that?" And there was a pregnant pause. He said, "You guess. I'm coming right down there." I went, "Oh, God. Oh, no. Don't tell me now. Here I am. I've been having a nice afternoon laying here in the barracks. And this guy comes walking in, and now already he's not been in here 3.5 minutes, and we have tangled you-know-whats with the orderly room. For crying out loud. So I get up instantly. I'm not going to be caught here in my box. So I get up instantly, and I go scurrying out the back of the barracks. See, I'm trailing underwear and shoes and everything. I go tearing out to the back, out of the barracks. And this guy, as I go running out, he sees me, see, and he says, "Chicken," and out he goes. Well, I hide down back of the latrine for a while till I figure it's cooled off. And I sneak back and I look into the barracks and I see this guy Sanderson. He's still laying in the bunk. I don't know what happened with the early room, but obviously it's all over. So I come sneaking back and I crawl back into my bunk and I lay down. Neither one of us says a word. I lay there for about maybe a minute and a half. All of a sudden, I hear this sound up above me. It is a sound that is indescribable, and I will not attempt to even create it here on the radio tonight. Suffice it to say, there was a pregnant pause, and there was a kind of a heaval up there. I could see the bunk jiggle a little bit, and right past my ear went the greatest, the biggest gob of tobacco juice that I have ever seen. It was the size of a moderately small football. I had the same color. This gob of tobacco juice went whistling right past my ear and landed right smack on my footlocker. The battle was joined. I mean, anybody that spits tobacco juice on your footlocker, he just lays it right at the chew on the back of him. And so I take my foot, and this is an old Army trick, I'm lying on the bottom bunk, I take my foot and I place it right on the bottom of the bunk and I push up. And this guy goes up, you can see him heave, and there's a scrunching sound, and he comes flying off the barrack, off the bunk, and lands flat on his face, right in between the two bunks. And you don't want to hear the rest of the story. This is real Army life. He gets up and he says, "What'd you do that for?" I says, "You spit tobacco juice on my footlocker." He says, "Was that your footlocker? I thought that was the footlocker that belonged to the guy in the next bunk." I said, "Would that have made any difference?" He says, "Sure, I never spit on a bunkmate's footlocker." Ah, the unseen, the unspoken code of the Army. There is honor among thieves. I said, "Oh, well, in that case, okay." I said, "Just clean it up." So he takes one of his socks. I'm just telling you the truth. This is a true primitive you're dealing with, see? He takes one of his socks. He's got a lot of his laundry laying out on the top of his bunk. He takes one of his socks, and it's one of his clean socks. And he just brushes off the tobacco juice. You know, he just brushes it all off. It sticks it back up there with the laundry. Is it time to make a break here yet? Oh, yeah, man. This is Gene Shepherd, friends, and this is WOR in New York. And I'm just telling you how it is, really, in the Army. These are these hellish little moments, see? And they are constantly are happening to you in the Army. Well, that night, we take off to go down to the mess hall to eat. And me and Sanderson go down together because he's, you know, the bunk, that's it. So we go I know not one single person in the casual company. And the only guy that I've known anything at all about is Sanderson. You know, he's the bunk above me. He's spitting tobacco juice and all that. And so we get at the end of the line, the chow line, and way up ahead, we see that they are serving tonight fried chicken. So he turns to me and he says, "What you bet that they're going to run out before we get up there?" I said, "Well, why do you say that?" "They always do." And so you see these guys with the trays, every guy's peeling off, and he's got this big, great big half a fried chicken with the cranberry sauce and the whole scene. Sure enough, do I have to tell you that three guys ahead of us, the cook comes out with the tray, he takes the empty tray back, and he lays out the cold cuts. Well, Sanderson takes one look at them cold cuts, excuse the expression, and he says, "Hey, buddy," and he's talking to the mess sergeant. This was an imposing mess sergeant. And Sanderson says, "Hey, buddy, you don't expect me to eat that..." Now, he used an expression for cold cuts, friends, that you will never hear outside of the Army. It refers to... Well, the mess sergeant turns around and says, "What'd you say? Who said that?" And who do you think he's looking at? Guess who? I said, "I didn't say nothing. Not me. I like salami. Bologna slices. That's what I like." "Don't give me that. What did you say?" I said, "Well, Sanderson is saying nothing." He said, "What's the matter? You afraid to tell him you said it?" "You son. What are you trying to do?" "Now I'm in trouble with the mess hall." So we get our... All right, you guys. Any of you guys, ex-GIs out there, you tell them what they call cold cuts in the Army, all right? So I get my tray full of this stuff, and we start walking on out through the line. Well, now, of course, as you walk out through the line, there's a place where you get your silverware, you get your knife and your fork and stuff, you get the big tray, and they've got... And they always cut the bologna, you know. Can you imagine? You get a cut of bologna that's about 4 inches thick. I don't know, there's something about bologna. When it's nice and thin and on a sandwich, it's right. But when it's 4 inches thick and it comes with sort of lukewarm broccoli, it's a not a typical Army meal. It comes with lukewarm broccoli that has been boiled for 17 straight hours. And in addition to that, you have a piece of flat apple pie with grape Kool-Aid. It isn't a meal that exactly sings. And so we start to walk back through the mess hall. All these guys are sitting there. You can see the chicken bones piled up, and they've got the cranberry sauce, and we're coming back with the cold cuts. Well, Sanderson, about halfway through the mess hall, turns around, says, "Hey, what do you see? We go down to the PX, get something ready to eat, huh?" I said, "Okay." And so we walk back up to the chow where the guys are handing it out, and he just takes his tray, and he dumps it in the inedible garbage. They got two garbage cans. One says edible, one says inedible. He dumps it in the inedible garbage. With that, the mess sergeant says, "Hey, you, come here, Mac. You see that sign up there?" And the sign says, "Take all you want, but eat all you take." Do they still have that sign in the mess halls? "Take all you want, but eat all you take." He says, what are you throwing at? He says, "Do you know that a whole family in Bulgaria can live on that for a week?" And Sanderson looks at him and says, "Well, why don't you go to Bulgaria and give it to them? Don't you try handing me that." And then he used that line again, referring to the cold cuts. And so out we are now, out in the cold ambient air. I am with my friend Sanderson, the first true primitive. Now, you would never meet this kind of guy in ordinary life. I mean, I would have nothing to do with him. I just wouldn't know him. So we're walking along our way towards the PX. He's chewing a great big chew. I believe it was, there's a thing called sweet apple cut plug. Have you ever heard of sweet apple cut plug? And it comes in a brown bag, and he's chewing the sweet apple cut plug, and he's spitting on the shoes of people that are walking by on the way to the PX going the opposite direction. So we're walking along. His uniform is all crumpled and rumpled up, and you can see little threads where his PFC stripes had been taken off. We're walking back, and I said, "Hey, Sanderson." "I said, your name's Sanderson?" "Yep." I said, "Well, Sanderson, what's your MOS? "My what?" I said, "Your MOS. 521, I'm a rifleman." I said, "You're what?" "I'm a rifleman." So we walk along for, this is what they call cannon fodder. He is the good soldier Schweik. He is the basic material of which all armies are made and have been made ever since the days of Hannibal. I suspect that there were four guys named Sanderson sitting about three or four elephants from the rear when Hannibal was going over the Alps, and they all sat there with their shovels and complained about this general, you know, this guy, you know. and so we're walking along. Yeah, he's the universal soldier. He has no other place outside of this world. So we walk along. We're on our way to the PX. I said, "When did you get drafted?" "What drafted?" I said, "How'd you get in?" "I joined up." I said, "You joined up? How come?" "Well, why not? Yes, well, I can think of a lot of reasons why not. How about join? What do you join? Did you join the enlisted reserve or what? Regular. So you're a regular army?
Yep.
How long you been in?
12 years.
12 years? He said casual company. XPFC. I see. Gonna stay in?
You bet. I found a home.
See, you found a home?
Yep.
We walk a little bit further on towards the PX. Now, I'm describing tonight to your friends a true, a genuine private in the Army. This is a genuine basic private. And I said then later on, after kind of casually walking along, looking at the scenery, passing the WAC barracks, that kind of stuff, I said to him, hey, Sanderson, what'd you do when you were home?
Yeah, nothing much.
Worked at the garage.
Yeah? What'd you do?
Just mess around.
What do you do in the Army?
Same thing, mess around. I said, were you married?
Oh, yeah, I was married 3 times.
I said, where?
Oh, a lot of places.
I married a Polack 1 time, Chicago.
Oh?
Yep.
Are you married now?
No, I've thrown her out.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we walk a little further on. And this is our conversation is growing richer and deeper by the minute. He says to me, you want a chaw? I said, a what?
A chaw.
Here, I got some... Got a new pack here, and he reaches in this blouse pocket, you know, the blouse here at the top. He reaches in. He's got a good conduct ribbon, by the way, and his good conduct ribbon is all dirty. That says something about him. He won this good conduct ribbon years ago, you know, and that's the only thing he's got. It's over his pocket, this little red ribbon, and it's all cruddy, and then you get the thumbprints and dirt and crud all over it. And he says, here, have chop. So I figured I'll be kind of sociable with Sanderson. So I packed his stuff back in my trap, and the instant I get it back there, I start feeling queasy and sick to my stomach. But, you know, I'm out with the, you know, with the tough guys, see? So we're walking along. And along comes the second lieutenant. He's walking along. And this is one of those 12-year-old second lieutenant ROTC types from Baylor or from Texas Christian, you know, with a tall, long, thin, red neck. Always have that kind of thing, very sharp. The hat sits right on top of their head, square, and they've got everything sharp and pressed. And pants are just a little bit too short, and he's got GI shoes, all clean and bright. And he comes walking along, and Sanderson threw him a salute that was one of the snottiest, one of the most. If you can imagine a salute that somehow was properly done, but at the same time was an obscene gesture. Just throws him this salute thing. Second lieutenant looks at him, and he recognizes instantly this is a guy that you're not going to tangle with. You don't mess around with... You've seen this type in the Army. You don't mess around with the Sandersons in the Army. You just let them go and hope that you don't run into them again. And so we get to the PX, and we drink a couple of cans of GI beer. We mix that with a couple of malted milks, and that, of course, with the apple-cut plug. And we have some Milky Way candy, buys a couple of powerhouses. This is a typical GI meal down at the PX. A couple of tuna salad sandwiches. Stand around over there by the cash register and talk to the chick that's working over there. All the while, my stomach's getting a little more queasy as time goes on. And it's getting later. And Sanderson drinks 3 or 4 more GI 3.2 beers. And he's feeling them. He's feeling a little good. And he's beginning to look for a fight. One of the first things that the basic yard birds do is to look for somebody to take it out on. Well, we go sitting back down at our table now. We've got cans all around for the GI beer, and I'm a very circumspect soldier, friends. There's two kinds of soldiers. There's the kind of soldier that dedicates his time in the Army to staying out of trouble. Then there's the other kind who dedicates his time in the Army to being in trouble. And when the two of them get together, man, I want to tell you, I mean, you know. And so we sat down at the table there. Sanderson looks over there at a PFC that's chewing away on a tuna salad sandwich. And this guy's got a patch on his arm. Some kind of patch, I don't know, some outfit I never saw before. And Sanderson says, "Hey, you. Hey, man, how long you been the Flying Tea Kettle?" And this guy turns around. His face is kind of purple already. You could see he's been drinking 3.2 beer. And he said, "What'd you say, Mac? How long you been the Flying Tea Kettle? That's the worst damn outfit I ever seen. I was in that outfit once for 2 weeks, man. I could hardly wait to get out of it. What a... Then he used a phrase which is connected with poor. A two-word phrase. "What a poor outfit." That's the blank in there. "Man, I'll tell you, that is a really, really chicken. Oh, wow. Flying Tea Kettle." Well, now, they had this patch, see, and this patch had wings on it that was all very spectacular. It was something, you know, like the 7th Tornado Hussars or something like that, you know. And here he calls the Flying Tea Kettle. He says, "Listen here." He said, "You trying to put me on?" "Because putting you on, listen, man, and nobody who'd ever wear the Flying Tea Kettle patch can be put on because they're ignorant from the start. That's a dumb outfit." All right. Friends, I want to ask you a question. I suspect this is a male thing. I don't think women know this. How many times in your life have you been with a provocateur? And you get sucked into the maelstrom. You know, that thing of being with some slob in a bar who insists on starting a fight with somebody else. What do you do? How many times have I ridden with cab drivers in this town and they start yelling at some other cab driver out of the window? What do you do? Do you applaud your cab driver? Are you on his side? You know, especially when you know that this son of a gun you're riding with has cut that other guy off 17 times. I mean, what do you do? You say, "Go give him that. Go on, go get him. You know? Hey, Ray, hit him." You know, what do you do? So we're sitting there in a PX, and these two guys start a shoving match. Well, you know what a shoving match is. It's not a real fight. They're kind of, "Hey, get out of here," you know. And then they start shoving. "Oh, you say that again, Mac." And they're shoving. All of a sudden, in comes three MPs. Boom, just like that. I mean, you don't start this stuff in the PX. Boom, like that. "All right, you guys, come on. All you guys, come on, line up over here. Let me see your ID. Come on. Name, right? What outfit are you from? Come on, Mac." All my life I've been keeping out of trouble, you know. So I take out my wallet, and there's my little ID, you know, and I'm in this casual company, you know. Okay, all right, man, and they're writing it all down, these guys with the white hats, and I'm ranking. Here's Sanderson. He's loving it. All of his life he's been in this hassle. This is what the Army is about him, you know. This is why he's been one casual company after the other. He's loving it. You can see that big grin. He's got that big red-faced, blonde, Tennessee-type grin. All his life he's been hanging around juke joints, getting in fights when he's back in Tennessee, the way they say it, Tennessee. This guy makes a member of the White Citizens Council look like, believe me, a liberal, you know? I mean, that kind of guy. He just fights everybody. And by the way, it's indiscriminate. It had nothing to do with color. He just fights everybody. And so here he is. He's loving it. You can just see that big grin on his face. And the sergeant of the MP says, "All right, now, give me a name, rank, serial number." And he says, "Hennessy." He's giving him a fake name. "My name is Hennessy. I'm in the..." And there's a pause. And this sergeant looks up at him. He says, "I'm over in the 2nd Army Headquarters Company, 4th Battalion." He writes it down. He says, "Let me see your card. I don't have it with me." He says, "Okay." Writes it down. Well, being me, I give him my right name. Yeah, there are some guys who can't help but be patsies in the world. Yeah, I'm serious. Did you hear about this guy, the 10 most wanted fugitives recently? You know, I was talking to the paper about 10 most wanted guys. They caught one guy, and he's working someplace for the state somewhere, and he's using his right name. Nothing sadder than an inept crook. And so I give him my right name. And we're now out in the night. And now Sanderson is in his glory. He's had his little action for tonight. And he's had about 3.2 beers. He goes back to the barracks on the way and gets rid of all that. And now we're walking through the ambient darkness. The quiet night, the army is beginning to slowly sink into somnolence. You know, that feeling around the army camp. It's about 10:30. They're just about to blow taps. And you can just see the lights here and there, and you can hear the guys playing craps in the day room. As you walk along, you hear the pool balls clicking together. We are heading back towards home. The casual company. You know, home. I arrive back in the barracks, and I'm not there 5 minutes when the PA system, Shepard, I got the alley right away. Shepard and the alley right away. Okay. I get up, and Hennessy is, as we now call him, Hennessy. Hennessy from 2nd Army Headquarters Company, 2nd Battalion, is now sound asleep and snoring, wearing his uniform with his shoes on, in the bunk above me. Every time he snores, you know, there's this fine spray of tobacco juice that hangs in the air above him, and this smell of old 3.2 beer and old fist fights that he's fought in places all the way from Joplin, Missouri to Rabbit Hash, Tennessee. He's fist fought his way all through North Africa with the 82nd Airborne. And now here he is snoring away in his bunk, a happy soldier. Wow! That fine spray of tobacco juice. And I get up and I put on my shoes. And there's a long line of bunks, guys sitting there writing letters. Other guys are sleeping, and I go down through the darkness and the buckboards and into the orderly room. And there sitting is the first sergeant. Okay, Shepard, what happened down tonight at the PX? Got a note here from the provost marshal. Who are you shoving around? I said, who am I shoving around? She said, yep, we got a note here. And says you were with some guy from the headquarters company, 2nd Battalion. Headquarters company, somebody named Hennessy. Do you know anything about him? Yes. What outfit's he from? Is he from the 2nd Battalion headquarters? Yep, he is. I'm perjuring myself for that clod back there in the barracks. Getting myself deeper into trouble. Because that's part of being a patsy. Do you agree with me? On the one hand... Other guys do it to you, but you never quite have the guts to do it to them. And he's back there. He's snoring away back in the 3rd barracks. So I'm standing there in front of that miserable desk in the orderly room, and there's something about the yellow light in an orderly room just before taps. The CQ has come in, the guy that's on at night. The first sergeant that's just about the end... You know who played the best first sergeant I've ever seen in the movies? The best job I've ever seen done portraying a first sergeant was done in From Here to Eternity by Burt Lancaster. Do you agree with me there? Oh, he played a first sergeant, and that was a real pro first sergeant. And here we got this guy who's been running this casual company with an iron fist. For lo, these many years, he's had the dregs of humanity go through this outfit. And he's looking up at me. All right. Tell you what we're going to do. I don't want to bother the captain with this kind of stuff. I see you. What kind of outfit is this ASTP? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 7 days. I'm going to just restrict you to 7 days to the barracks, to the company area. And I don't want to hear no more trouble out of you, okay? Yes, Sergeant. I want you hanging around with Hennessy, whatever his name is. Getting with that crowd over at headquarters company ain't no good. These guys are professional soldiers. You're going to get in trouble with them, okay? Yes, Sergeant. And we're not going to hear any more from you, right? Yes, Sergeant. All right, you are now under arrest as of 11:05. 7 days. And I walk out into the night, back to the barracks. And I crawl into the bunk. And up above me, I can see that bulge hanging down. I can see a pile of socks next to the barracks bag. A pile of underwear. I can see his raunchy fatigues hanging from the rod back of the bunk. Those really, he had the raunchiest fatigues ever. So he must have spent 5 years in the grease trap. He had fatigues that would get up and talk and walk all by themselves at night and go out and have dates with girls. He's lying there up above me. You can see that bulge hanging down. The happy soldiers up there. Another fine mist of old tobacco juice comes drifting down. Sleeping up there, happy as a hog in a hog waller. Which is what he was in a way. I'm lying in the sack. 7 days under arrest. And it's going to go on my record, friends. Right? It's right there. 7 days. I ain't going to leave this barracks. And once in a while, they'll take me out, give me something to eat. After everybody else has had the fried chicken, they'll give me a few little chunks of bologna. Some of that Brussels sprouts that I can hardly wait to get at. Those lukewarm, parboiled Brussels sprouts. Maybe they'll even give me a little of that raisin Kool-Aid. Purple Death. Once in a great while, they'll come down and take me out with a bunch of other guys wearing fatigues to clean out the latrine. Yeah. With a big thing on the back that says P. Yep. And a guy takes you around with a short sawed-off shotgun. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. He knows. So I'm lying there on the sack 7 days. And off in the distance someplace, the first sergeant, the old pro, he's going through the morning report already, and he's getting ready to turn in his papers that he's going to have to turn in the next morning. The yellow light bulb hangs, and army life goes on. Off in the distance, you hear the sound of pool balls clicking together. And somewhere off in the way far distance, you hear the sound of a radio playing in one of the barracks or in one of the mess halls. It's playing Roy Acuff records. Everywhere you go in the army, you hear Elvis Presley, Roy Acuff, you hear the same sound. That constant sound of guys singing through their nose. Singing eternally about lost loves. Yeah, I want you to tell me the next time you are going to town, you're slipping around on me, baby. And I know that you're slipping to town. Oh, I was a lonesome soldier in old Koreatown. I'm laying there on the bunk. Just living the life. Playing it cool. Playing it easy. Waiting for Sanderson to wake up. Waiting for something to happen. 7 lonely days and 7 lonely nights. The second day of my internment, Sanderson disappeared completely. He was shipped. And I remember when he was shipped, he comes ambling in about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, with his smelly fatigues, wearing his hat pulled down all around his ears, chewing tobacco. He walks up to the bunk and he just pulls down his 2 barracks bags and starts taking off his fatigues and stuffing them in the bag. He had barracks bags, friends, who were worn thin from traveling. And he just stuffs his stuff in, and I'm laying still on my bunk, under arrest. I said, where are you going, Sanderson? Being shipped. I said, where to? I don't know. Where are you going? I know where I'm going. I just been shipped. They just cut the orders. I don't know. Where do you think you're going, huh? Well, maybe the West Coast, someplace. Think I'm heading out for Camp Ord, I believe. and he continues to pack. He gets his stuff all packed, puts on his crummy old uniform, his crummy old GI shoes. He takes down his pictures, which he carried around with him, which he stuck up back of the bunk, sticks them into his barracks bag, and then without so much as a goodbye, he flings his bags over his shoulder and starts out. I said, good luck, Sanderson. You don't worry, I'll land on my feet. I said, yes, I know. He's now almost at the door. And his last words, as he headed out into the shimmering heat, was, well, hang loose, son. Don't let him do it to you. And I never saw him again. Somewhere, someplace, Sanderson is still making the scene. Somewhere, someplace, he's still hanging around the gas station. Maybe he's hanging around the diner. Maybe he's sitting there listening to Roy Acuff records, telling the guys about the days when he was in the Army. Now he's on pension. He's a 20-year man. Yeah, he's living high off the hog, sitting there with his cane pole fishing for bullheads. Someplace in southern Tennessee, knocking heads together on Saturday night when he goes around, does a little juking, and little pretty old gals in Nashville. Yeah. And so tonight we want to salute the basic Yardbird, wherever he is. He's not only the salt of the earth, he's something else of the earth, friends. Bring it up big. La la ti, oh la la ti, da 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 da. You never heard that story, did you? Da 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 da. I remember the day that they came and sprung me then after my 7 days. Bring me down to the orderly room. First sergeant looks up. He said, well, you're out. Don't you hang around with that guy Hennessy. Is that his name? Did you know I got a note here that Hennessy has been AWOL from that company ever since that night? I said, Hennessy's been AWOL? Yeah. I hope you learned your lesson, soldier. Now get out of this orderly room and don't you come back here until we call you for a detail, all right? Now get out. Burt Lancaster, the first sergeant. Oh, shucks. Let's hear them both. Come on, let's go, gang. Swing loose. Da 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 da. Oh, you've all known Sanderson. In fact, he probably works down in the shipping department right now, wherever you are. Swing easy, men. It looks like it might happen.